Hi, this is Iris Jackson, and this is Miracles Happen, Dreams Do Come True. And today I'd like to share with you a miracle and a blessing and a dream come true in my life in terms of she is a friend like I've always wanted, and there is an alignment of mission for the upliftment of all life, unlike any I have with anyone else I know. And I have some friends. So I want to introduce to you the beloved, beautiful, precious, dear, magical Sharon Callahan. Welcome, Sharon.
Well, thank you, Iris. Thanks so much for having me on your show again and for all the beautiful thoughts, and knowing that an awful lot of your really, really good friends have 4 feet and whiskers, I feel really honored.
They do, don't they?
They do. Aren't they the best?
They are the best. And Sharon is she is an animal communicator, a world-class animal communicator, that works with veterinarians and animal sanctuaries and individual people around the planet. And I want to sort of talk today, Sharon, about what you feel like the animal's mission is collectively on the planet right now. And what I'm most interested in, Sharon, is that you feel that your information, your inner divine guidance from ascended masters and cosmic beings, is that we need to start treating animals.
Well, I start to say as we treat each other, but that's not good enough.
That's not so good.
That's still not good, is it?
No.
We need to start treating all life with gentleness and respect, and your information and my information is that the literally the life on this planet depends on it.
It really does. I mean, I feel that you know, any topic that we pick to discuss, there's always a kind of an ultimate and a relative level of things. And on an ultimate level, I really believe that animals, particularly companion animals, are in our lives to help us expand and grow in consciousness, and also to help us learn and understand that the moment of power, the only true moment, is the moment of now. And for any of our listeners that have an animal companion, a dog, a cat, a rabbit, or several animal companions, I'm sure that everyone has had the experience of maybe sitting in their yard or standing in their kitchen, and their mind is full of thoughts about what might happen in the future or financial concerns or whatever. And suddenly their dog or cat comes up, and you look in that animal's eyes, and in just an instant, everything that your mind has created as a problem is gone, and you're suddenly in the present moment with the animal. So I think that in an ultimate sense, what animals are teaching us is to be as present as possible in the moment at hand, which is where all of our true power, the power that comes not from the mind or the ego self, but the power that truly arises from our I am presence, can be found. And so in that more cosmic sense, all animals are assisting the upliftment of consciousness by bringing us into the present moment. And I mean, on and more relative, mundane, everyday levels, I mean, all we have to do is really look around at the state of the earth to see what a terrible mess we've made of things with all of the wars and poverty and starvation and mental illness and all the things that we see that are so distressful. And really, all of that comes about because we don't yet, collectively, enough of us, have the realization that we truly are all one. I mean, it's spoken of as a kind of cliche that we're all one. People in the New Age communities throw that around a lot. But really, very few people that I come in contact with, and I come in contact with a lot of fairly conscious people, very few people can carry that all the way through their life, every day, moment to moment, hour to hour, day by day, so that they're treating every living being as themselves. Because it's not just that animals are like us, or other people of other nationalities, or people that live in other countries are like us, but they are us. We really literally are all one. And I feel that one of the greatest services that animals perform is that they give us a place to start where we can open our hearts safely. Because at least in my own work, what I find is that people, many people find it very difficult to interact with the world at large or with other human beings or the way that human interaction and conversation unfolds, which is usually kind of confrontive and ego-based. But if a person falls in love with an animal companion, a dog or a cat, suddenly, their heart opens, and they can't hold back from loving that animal in a way very often that they're unable to love another human being. So what an animal is able to do for us, particularly a beloved animal companion, is to be the opener of the heart. And they do that in so many ways all day long for all of us that have animals. If we just look at our day-to-day life, we can see all of the different ways that they do that for us. And then, of course, there's a whole progression of extending that open heart and that sense of oneness with other beings beyond just the members of our own family and our beloved animal companion, but then also to realize that every cat and dog and rabbit and even the animals that we consider as food animals, the cows, the chickens, all of those animals are just this, not only the same as us, but they are simply other aspects of our own being. And so through the love of our animal companion and our love for them, we become open to all of these other levels of oneness. And along with that can come a great deal of suffering and grief, because as we open our hearts more and more through our animal companion to other animals and the suffering they endure, most people find that at least for a while they are really flooded with a tremendous amount of grief and sadness that begins to need to be processed, because we begin to then become aware of all of the mistreatment of animals throughout the whole history of civilization. But I feel it's the greatest challenge of our time, because I feel that if we address the suffering of animals, if we make atonement for that in whatever way we can, if we start today, here, in this moment, on your program, to live our lives in a way that honors all other beings as equals, then really the world will literally change before our eyes. But we really have to do it. You know, we can't just hold it as a thought. We have to put that into action in our life.
And how do we do that? Where can people start?
Well, I feel always, you know, one of the things that people very commonly say to me when I talk to them, and all the people that call me, all the people that I work with are absolutely wonderful, loving, incredibly sensitive people. But most of them, Iris, feel absolutely overwhelmed because almost all of them, through their love for their animal companion, have become aware of the tremendous suffering of animals on Earth. You know, how many animals are slaughtered every day for food or tortured in laboratories. And so many people
say...
Or disposed of, exactly.
Like their paper cups.
That's right.
Like they don't matter.
And
they didn't have a mother that nursed them and cared
exactly,
for them.
Exactly, exactly, Iris. And I think the thing that keeps us from progressing, or that I see with the people that I work with, is people get absolutely paralyzed at the extent of the suffering, and that they feel that there's nothing that they can do about it. So there's a kind of emotional and mental paralysis that sets in. But we can do something about it, and the way to begin, really, is to begin at home. I mean, we must begin to treat ourselves as sacred beings, treat our bodies as sacred vessels of the divine, treat our animals with the utmost respect. And however we're doing that now, we can always do a little bit better. And then we begin to extend that out to other animals that we meet on the street. You know, maybe as simple a thing as seeing a man and a dog walking your way and stopping to greet the dog and treat it in a respectful way. And then other people around begin to see something different. This person is reacting to this animal in a different way, in a sacred way. And then the ripples from that begin to go out and out and out. And also the tremendous, and this is something that we've talked about on other programs, the tremendous power of prayer and meditation and doing decrees and using the violet flame. But the thing is, we have to really do it. A lot of people, when they hear it, they think, oh, that's a good idea. But we must really do it. We must do it daily. We must pray for the animals. We must send out a beacon of light. And sometimes the hardest part is that we also have to realize that the people that are abusing the animals are doing it out of ignorance, and we must really flood them with light and love and violet power too, so that we're not making anyone the enemy. We're realizing that everything we see in the outer world is in some way a reflection of our own self, and simply purifying and loving the whole thing. And then doing that work continuously throughout the day. So that it becomes really the focal point of our life. Because like anything else, it's whatever we focus on, whatever we give the most attention to is what's going to manifest. And I really, truly believe that if every person focused on treating animals as equal beings and then extending that out to the plant life, the insects, the earth itself, if we all really did that every day and did it continuously, we would see the world change overnight.
Hmm.
It's just too many people, really caring, loving people, are paralyzed because they feel there's nothing they can do.
Well, you know, one of the great cosmic laws is that you must ask for something, you must call for something, you must want something, you must desire it, and you must ask God for it. You must make the demand on universal substance that
That's
this
right.
comes forth. And this is our responsibility.
It is.
We are planetary citizens. We are responsible not only for our front yard, not only for our country. There's something overwhelming.
Yes.
But, you know, like, my reaction to the leaders has been, I didn't vote for them. I'm not with them.
I'm not with them.
Don't hold me responsible for anything they do. But I think that the action that we can take is so simple. And I want to talk about the violet flame more because it's one of the very most powerful things we have at our disposal for transformation
yes.
to the planet. And transformation at a gentle level. See, I am not interested in more upheaval, pain, and suffering. I am
no.
not interested in earth changes that kill millions of people. I am not interested in that.
It's just more of the same, isn't it?
Yeah. I am interested in what is going to be gentle, loving, harmonious, and happy for everyone. And for me, it's a mom thing. I don't want any more boys sent to war. And I don't want any more animals sent to slaughter.
No, me either.
And, you know, I think we need to all take a step. You know, for me, I stopped eating meat a long time ago. You know, I'm working with cats that have been classically carnivores. I have started them on this vegan dry food.
Yes.
And I offer it side by side with the other. And, you know, more and more of them are just stopping in to take a little bite. You know, they're They're trying it out. But going back to asking, I want to just give this prayer, and it's actually a decree. When we call forth our I Am presence, we are calling on the I Am that is the one life, the one stream of light and goodness in all of us.
All beings.
Yes.
And things.
So here it is. I am cosmic law demand, and I am the swift, merciful awakening of everyone involved in the slaughter, abuse, neglect, and eating and selling of animals, that all are now turned to loving, constructive, joyful activities. And that loving, endless, joyous retribution is made to all animals from this day forth and forevermore everywhere. And I don't mean just earth. And so it is.
That's beautiful. Yes, not only this earth, but all earths.
Yes. All life everywhere. And, you know, talk about the violet flames. Some more, Sharon, and then...
Well, I think you're more of a violet flame expert than I am, but for me, and of course for you, I mean, we keep the color violet around us all the time because it's the most powerful color frequency there is. What did you tell me, Iris, about the rate at which violet vibrates?
It violates... But I can say this. It vibrates at 30 trillion something per second.
Per second.
Yes. And that's, you know, like red is like, oh, I don't know. It's
low.
Yeah, it's very, very...
Very low in comparison.
Yeah, it's very low, and it's because it is a color that is associated with blood.
Right.
It is associated with stop.
Right.
It is associated with...
lower chakra.
What?
The lower chakras.
And with danger.
Right.
And I think a lot of people have loved blood and destruction and violence because they have become so armored. It's the only thing they can feel.
That's right.
And they've become armored because it's been okay. A little bit of cruelty's been okay.
Right.
As a means to an end, it's been okay. If we have to kill a few, you know, 100,000 people to get peace, and I use the term loosely,
You know, that's okay. It's not okay.
It's not okay. And so, to me, I mean, there's a lot to be talked about in regard to the violet flame, but just as a starting place, I feel the importance of just the color violet. And as an example, my cat Lily, who is now 23 years old, really began to go into a decline this past summer. And, of course, you know, most people would say, oh, well, that's expected, a 23-year-old cat. You know, a lot of people have never even heard of a cat living that long.
Well, my cats are voting for her.
They sure are.
And then we'll see what we want to do afterwards.
And she's voting for them to all live that long, too. So one of the things that I did for Lily, other than a very modest amount of other holistic treatment, is I simply took my very favorite picture of her and put it up against a violet plate on my altar with some sacred things around it. And one of the things I clearly noticed, Iris, is that one day when I wasn't paying attention, the violet plate got knocked over.
Mm-hmm.
And she went into a decline again for a couple of days. I put the violet plate up, she was fine again. Mm-hmm. So the color alone, imbued with our intention, is amazingly powerful. But then, of course, we should also endeavor to use the energy of the violet flame every single day to purify our own bodies, the organs of our body, the cells of our body, our brains.
Just the thoughts we have.
The thoughts we
you
have.
You know, those thoughts where you go, oops.
Purifying our animals, our environment. Although it can actually, I find it can be very simply done, the violet flame purification, by simply doing it with our own body and our thoughts and our emotions, purifying them. And using ourself as a surrogate for our animal companions, for other people in our family, our community, the earth at large, and then sending that purifying light out everywhere.
Well, let's do that now, shall we?
All right.
I'm reverting to wabbits.
We love wabbits.
Yes, we love wabbits. Do you want to say something about wabbits?
Well, I feel that rabbits are one of the things that's interesting in my own work is that for years and years I seldom had a client with rabbits as companions. And over the last 5 years, the numbers of people that have rabbits as companions has grown and grown and grown tremendously. So they are really an up-and-coming companion animal in the most wonderful way. But I feel that rabbits are very, you know, despite the way that some people regard rabbits that don't know them well, would think of rabbits as being very timid or maybe representing fearfulness or anxiety.
Not at all.
But not at all. If you get to know a rabbit, they are one of the most powerful, courageous creatures you could ever come in contact with, and the most loving. And also, to me, it's very important for people that can have a rabbit to have one, because if you consider all of the animals that we've done hideous things to, in our history on the planet. I mean, we've done such horrible things to rabbits through experimentation and so forth that by having a rabbit and interacting with it in a sacred way or doing it through visualization and through the violet flame process, if you don't have a rabbit companion of your own, we can do a tremendous amount in repairing the past injustice and cruelty to not only rabbits but all animals. So I see rabbits as a growing emissary for all animals. And I think that's one of the reasons that more and more people are drawn to rabbits as companions, not to mention the fact that they're just absolutely adorable.
They are adorable, and they're characters.
They are characters, and they are each one so absolutely different.
We had a rabbit named Notorious.
Great name.
And he was Notorious, and he was one of those little mini rabbits with the sort of Egyptian-looking eyes. He had,
yes,
like black eyeliner with points in the middle of his eyes. And
isn't that beautiful?
Yes, so beautiful. And he was just tiny. You know, he didn't weigh 2 pounds. And he was hilarious. He would, we'd be eating dinner, and he'd hop up, rip off a piece of lettuce and be across the room like in record time, you know, before you could even react. And you could hear him just giggling.
Yes.
It reminded me of, you know, the kids that run up and ring the doorbell and run off, you know.
Yes, a happy rabbit does a lot of giggling.
Yeah, they really do.
Did Notorious get named Notorious before or after his first Notorious act?
I think he was just plainly from the beginning. That was his name.
That's wonderful.
I think that he told us, you know.
That's kind of the impression I was getting, that he may have told you that was his name.
Yeah, and he would, when he wanted you to pet him, if you weren't ready to pet him or you were doing something, he would stand up on his hind legs, you know, get a picture. He's about 8 inches tall, fully extended. And he would take his front paws and hit your shins with them and growl and bark.
Like bark?
He barked.
That's very interesting.
He barked, and he was like, he thought he was a junkyard dog, you know? And he ordered the cats around. He was very pushy with the cats. He tried to teach them rabbit etiquette, which is one rabbit will lick the other rabbit's head, and it's very sweet and it's very worshipful, and then it will put its head down and offer, asking for the same service. Well,
yes,
none of the cats got that. And he tried and tried to train them, and he just thought they were pretty stupid. They just didn't get it.
And Notorious wasn't the archetypal timid rabbit, was he?
No. Not at all. Well, I don't find any of them timid, really.
No.
I think they're very, very, very gentle, and they let people feel that. But, you know, it's funny. My rabbits, I have them in a, like a 30 by 30 outdoor pen that they can run around in.
It's absolutely gorgeous.
And in the daytime, and then they have their clubhouse for at night, so if the raccoons come and stuff. So they're real happy to go in there at night, and they get to hop around all day. And I think that's a very important thing, is that all of us long for freedom so much, and we must give freedom.
That's right.
We must give freedom. We must preserve freedom. We must make a space for freedom. And you know, I feel like sort of my rabbits are broadcasting to all rabbits everywhere.
They are.
This is the divine blueprint for how rabbits are treated.
Absolutely.
And you know, it's funny, Sharon, they sort of, at this point, they want me to just sort of leave them alone. You know,
that's right.
I pet them, but I never pick them up. They don't like that. They don't want me to do that. And my relationship with them is sort of strictly serving. I can't explain it more than that.
Well, I think that that's very, very important. I'm glad you brought that up, because it really goes back to what we were talking about, where people feel overwhelmed or don't know what they can do, or feel that whatever they could do wouldn't be enough. But you see, if you just have a few rabbits like you do, and you give them a beautiful, natural, sacred environment to live in, then really they do the rest of the work, because they are connected to the divine blueprint of all other rabbits. And the sacredness with which you treat them goes out through the internet to all the other rabbits, and changes occur. So it's like really everything is holographic. Every little thing that we do in our home and in our own environment and with the animals that are in our care, that gets broadcast in an enormous way. And each of us can do that. You know, there isn't any reason that each of us can't have a rabbit or some other animal that we care for in the most sacred way. And, you know, even, I mean, I know people that live in city apartments that aren't supposed to have any animals at all, but they'll have a little, maybe they'll have two little mice that they take care of. And it doesn't matter. It's just that you treat that animal sacredly as an emissary for all the others and give it the best life you possibly can.
Yeah, and, you know, go to the animal shelter, get one animal.
Yes.
Save one animal.
Just
give
one
animal a great home.
That's it.
And, you know, I recently had that experience being in Mount Shasta with you, Sharon, that I had, let's see, I want to say four kitties, but, you know, I have a couple part-time kitties.
Part-time kitties?
Part-time kitties, you know, that they share with the neighbors. And but I went to the Humane Society with you, and I definitely went to get treasure.
Yes.
And you know, it might have looked like at the time, you know, I didn't want to bring home and face my cats with a kitten.
Right.
I didn't want to do that. I mean, my rational mind was saying, don't do that. And I did it anyway, because it was my guidance, and he has just been the greatest joy to me.
And no problem at all.
No. Well, the girls weren't too happy at first, but they all get along well, and he's a very unusual cat. Like, for instance, he has never, ever spit, not one time.
No, never.
What? He's something new in the way of vibration and frequency that's being brought on this planet.
He totally is. He's absolutely special in that way. He's really bringing a new frequency into your home environment and sending that frequency out across the earth.
Yeah, so I was going to say, you know, make a little change.
That's right.
Make a little change, you know, in just speaking up for animals.
Right.
And contributing to places that PETA and places that really help animals.
That's right. And I think that, yes, little thing, there's nothing really that's a little thing. And so many events that happen just in our day-to-day life can make such a huge difference. Like, I remember recently, Iris, you were telling me about that lady that was being mean to her little dog. And so people, you know, if you see an unkindness, if you see someone being unkind to an animal, then there's a way that you can interject a higher frequency without making the person that's being unkind into an enemy. There's a way of embracing the whole thing in love, saying something loving to the person and to the animal, but that opens the entire situation to something higher.
Well, I have an example of what happened there, because I was upset about this for days. And I was upset because this is a lady that really, really, really loves her dogs. And the way she shows that she loves them is they have little sweaters, and, you know, some of their sweaters say stuff like, "You couldn't afford me." But she has a nail salon, and she keeps them there all day, and they're, like, ordered into this little corner. And, you know, for me, I'd like to schmooze with them, bring them,
sure,
food, play with them, hold them on my lap, and that stuff. But she just keeps them sort of really pinned up. And this little dog asked to go to the bathroom. She let the dog out to go to the bathroom, and then she ordered her back in the corner, and she wouldn't go. And she picked her up and just smacked her on the butt, and I could feel how that little dog felt.
Right.
And also, I was really distressed because I know this person really loves her dogs.
Mm-hmm.
She really loves them. And, you know, it's sort of like that was the way she was treated as a child.
That's right.
And just very, very unconscious. And, you know, Sharon, I remember being that unconscious in early parts of my life here.
Mm-hmm.
And so I really had compassion for her, but I was really disturbed. And I was disturbed for all animals every place that are treated like that.
Right.
And aren't given freedom. And, you know, like, I know this guy that really loves his dog, but when he was talking to me on his cell phone one time, and he went in his door, his dog came to greet him and was so happy to see him. And because she was muddy, he made her go and lay down.
Oh.
And you know, stuff like that just makes me so sad. And so I was very sad about that. I was asking God what to do. I didn't want to alienate this person.
Right.
And a friend of mine that really loves her little her Yorkie sent me three things. One is called a dog's prayer, about how a dog will lick your hand between abusing it.
It's beautiful, isn't it?
It is very beautiful. And she also sent information on two websites, one where you can get actual diamond collars for dogs and one for cashmere beds. And I knew this lady was going to respond to that because of the sweaters.
Right.
So I took all three of those things to her in a really beautiful envelope with hearts, and I took the little dog some treats. And this person, I've never seen her smile like that. Her whole face lit up. She didn't feel criticized at all.
Exactly.
What?
Exactly. That's the perfect way to handle it.
And she knows that I love her little dog.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, I think it's important to just take a step, whatever you're shown.
That's right.
Just take a step, a kind step, a loving step.
Right.
A gentle step.
Mm-hmm.
You know, because
and a step, I mean, what you did is a beautiful example of a way that you can take action to help the animal without alienating the person. So the woman's heart opened even more.
You know, she was like a little child on Christmas Day that I cared with her for her dog.
Exactly.
And that was exactly the response I wanted to get, because we don't want to beat people into submission.
No. No.
We want everyone to learn these things gently and joyously, and because their heart is ready.
And I feel, too, Iris, that a lot of the time animals really take the brunt of people's pain body, which is, you know, literally the accumulation of pain that we've carried since childhood, or probably for many, many, many lifetimes. And so sometimes when an animal does something that that is, you know, really very superficial, an incredible force will come through the person that's out of proportion to whatever the situation was or whatever the animal did. And one of the things that I find the most difficult to deal with, but I do all the time, is just to help people understand that animals are often at the mercy of our accumulated pain. And I think it's the very reason why you sometimes see young children and adults that abuse animals terribly. It's because they've been abused terribly as children, or maybe for many, many lifetimes suffered abuse, and somehow they feel justified in taking that out on the animal. And I think that goes back perfectly to the violet flame work, because in working with the violet flame energy every day, we can purify the human pain body in a collective way, so that kind of behavior needn't happen anymore.
Yay, God.
Yay, God.
Well, you know, I like to ask everyone that's on the show that works with the violet flame to call it forth in their way, and so that people have a lot of different examples. And I want to say that if you would like this prayer, then let's do the prayers. Do you have the prayers handy?
You know, I don't have them right here. Do you have them?
You know, I think I have some, and I also have some for elections that I think would be good.
That sounds beautiful. I think it would be
good if we all did a prayer for the election tomorrow and in November. You know what? Got all my prayers here, and I don't seem to have the animal ones.
I have one of them.
Okay.
I have the one that came to us in the animal shelter here in Shasta.
Okay, that's a good one. That's a really good one. And so, but why don't we do the violet flame first?
Okay. I'll let you do that one.
Okay. All right. So I would like for all of us who are listening and all who would like to be a surrogate for all life on this planet to join with us in calling the violet flame and to put everything on the altar personally. Ouch! There's a little cat biting me and got her claws stuck. Is there something I'm not saying that you want me to add, Treasure? That hurts.
He says that you didn't say how beautiful he was.
You are so beautiful and such a treasure. And he's from the Humane Society in Mount Shasta, and he was truly put there as an angel blessing for me.
Absolutely.
And I was guided to him, and I am so grateful. And I just want to encourage people to go to the Humane Societies and let yourself have the gift of a treasure.
There's an angel waiting for you there.
Patiently.
Yes.
Okay, so as we call the violet flame, you can intensify it by visualizing it and adding your calls to ours and asking all of your Ascended Master guides to add their calls and intensify this activity of the violet flame and remove as much of the accumulation that causes pain to and distress to life as possibly can be removed this instant and replaced with Ascended Master purity and perfection and joy and freedom
and what God truly intended for our perfect happiness. So, in the name, power, and authority of I am that I am, as the cosmic authority of eternal freedom to the earth, we now call forth the full gathered momentum, cosmic power, pressure, and intensity of the inner essence of the violet transmuting flame, the fire of forgiveness, the law of forgiveness, the spiral blue flame of Saint Germain, the violet flame power of the violet planet, the violet flame power of the seven mighty Elohim, the inner essence of the cosmic sun concentration of the violet transmuting flame in its most powerful, dynamic activity from the heart of the great central sun. And we call every ascended master, every cosmic being, the angelic host, the I am presence of every life stream and life form in the earth itself to join your calls and your will with ours. And this violet flame now heals, blazes, sweeps, and loves in, around, and through every life stream and life form in, upon, and above the earth, out into the atmosphere and into all life everywhere, consuming, dissolving, and transmuting all that causes distress to life, all that's less than the purity and perfection and honoring and sacredness of all life, replacing all that has been humanly created with the master sacred fire, purity, and perfection of the ascended master's divine plan fulfilled, the sacred fire way, gently, joyously, lovingly. And I am cosmic law's demand, and I am the swift, merciful awakening of everyone involved in the slaughter, abuse, neglect, eating, and selling of animals, that all are now turned to loving, constructive, joyful activities, and that loving, endless, joyous retribution is made to all animals from and all life from this day forth and forevermore, everywhere, forever, and so it is.
So it is.
Okay, do you want to do the one from the Humane Society?
Yes, this is a prayer that came through when we were visiting the Humane Society in Mount Shasta, where Iris found her beautiful little cat, Treasure, who's one of the most gorgeous creatures I've ever seen. He's got the most silken hair like I've never felt on any cat. He's white with little tinges of gold in his ears and his tail, and just absolutely magnificent bright blue eyes. And he was right at the Humane Society. And this is the prayer that came through, which can be said if one is actually in an animal shelter, but it can certainly be said at any time and sent out with our intention to all animal sanctuaries and shelters throughout the world. Every time I connect with or am aware of anything less than the perfect health, happiness, freedom, and divine bliss, the source of all life intended for all beings, a million minds are awakened and a million beings are released forever and healed of all cause, effect, record, and memory of those conditions. A violet flame vortex of ever-expanding divine perfection is now established, invincibly expanding and eternally sustained, every day eternally creating more joy, beauty, harmony, freedom, happiness, and the abundance of every good thing. A men, a women, a children, a animals, and all living things. We give thanks that each animal is now delivered into the heart and hands and loving, gentle care of responsible, kind humans who nurture and support their happiness, well-being, and freedom, and who receive and know this precious, unique, divine gift that they are. There is a perfect home for every animal, and we call them forth now, and we do give thanks. And so it is.
And so it is. You know, and then Treasure has added that there is a perfect loving home for every animal and every living being everywhere, and we call them forth now.
Yes.
Because we want everyone to have a home.
We do.
Shen, I was with you one night, and you gave thanks and blessed the food before we ate, and then you said, and a warm, dry place for everyone to sleep tonight. You know, and it was just pouring rain, and I want every living being to have comfort and freedom and joy.
Right.
And the abundance of every good thing. And, you know, when people think that they have to do something that includes cruelty for a job or for their own good, their
right.
own security or something, you know, it's never good if it's not good for all life.
That's right.
You know,
and also just very simply, we can't find health, happiness, beauty, or well-being through the suffering of other beings.
We really can't.
We really can't.
And, you know, so much of it is unconscious.
That's right. So much of it is unconscious, and so much of it is because we've been dulled into not paying attention to the things that we're using, and that the products that we use in our home or the cosmetics or what we're eating has caused suffering to other beings. But if you're really willing to pay attention in your day-to-day life, it doesn't really take much to avoid those things that create suffering. It's a little step that makes a tremendous difference, and it also acts as a tremendous example for other people. It's like a silent teaching. If we buy cruelty-free products, or we sit in a restaurant and we order something that's not made from animals, then in some way everyone around us gets a little teaching, and we haven't had to say a word.
Well, you vote with your dollars.
You do. My friend Michael Fox, who's a wonderful veterinarian, said, you vote with your fork.
Yeah.
He says the best thing that you can do for the welfare of animals is pay attention to what you put on the end of your fork.
Well, it's not just your fork either, you know, like I have said things to people like I don't contribute to any research.
No.
Where there is done research on animals, because I actually, my inner guidance is that the experimentation on animals is what causes the disease.
That's right.
It's the same root cause.
You're absolutely right.
And it's like most of the medical treatments are like worse than the diseases.
That's right.
And so we just really have to stop torturing. And you know, people say to me, well, then what are we going to do, experiment on people? Well, I'm sorry, we're already experimenting on people.
We are.
and the other thing that's very, very, very interesting to me is that all of the worst abusers there's nothing else to call it, that are doing animal experimentation, they are the ones that are putting out products with poisons in them.
That's
in other
right.
words, they find out that something is a carcinogenic, and then they go ahead and use it anyway.
That's
I'll,
right.
I'll give you an example. You look at how many things have sodium lauryl sulfate in them. Toothpaste. Sodium lauryl sulfate is a carcinogenic. It goes directly into the bloodstream when you put it in your
right.
mouth. And there's hardly a shampoo that you can buy without it.
Right.
And they have tested it on and tortured little animals with it first. So, you know, we need to refuse to participate in those kind of things, you know, like that Proposition 34 or whatever it was that said you have to label things.
Right.
I called the Environmental Protection Agency. I said, how come they just have to label it?
Right.
How come they don't have to take it out? I said, you're the Environmental Protection Agency.
Exactly.
Protect us. And, you know, it might take some doing some calls, you know. I'm sort of a rabble-rouser.
That's good.
You have to ask questions. You have to say, you know, I found out they were using carcinogenics in hoses.
Exactly.
In water hoses.
Right.
And I returned the hoses I had bought, and I said, you don't understand. My husband can patch a hose for 50 years.
Right.
If you're going to keep doing this, I'm not going to buy your hoses.
And did you get a response?
They tried to handle me, but I found a hose that's actually safe for water, and you have to shop for one.
Right.
You have to shop for one, but it's important to the water, the groundwater, and the planetary water, and all life everywhere, that we quit participating in those things.
That's right.
So, Shelwyn, we have about 1 minute. What would you give people if you could give people anything?
What a big question. I would give people a prompting to enter into the divine silence with their animals. So many people call me to talk to their animals, but one of the biggest gifts that animals have for us is taking us into the purity and beauty and silence and truth of this moment. So I would encourage every person to sit silently with their animal companion, or if they don't have one, to go out into a park, sit with the animals there, and ask for guidance, because the animals can give us a tremendous amount of guidance and love. Yes, I would encourage people to sit silently with their animals.
Goodbye, we're over. I'm sorry. God bless you and all your dreams come true.
May all your dreams come true.